was talking to an older woman one time, and she was complaining about Vatican II. She says, I just don't understand the Catholic Church since Vatican II. You've all went from Latin to English. It used to be the Holy Ghost. Now you call him the Holy Spirit. And he says, we used to refer to him as a dove, and now you all call him a parakeet. And so I had to explain, no. The actual word is a paraclete. And now, a paraclete means an advocate. When you go to court, you want a good lawyer to defend you. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. He is our paraclete. The title paraclete is an ancient title given to the Holy Spirit. We know that Christ Himself is our first and remains our first advocate, because He is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us and for the whole world. But Jesus knew that He would leave this world in visible form. He's still with us under the appearances of bread and wine in the Blessed Sacrament and the tabernacle. But He was going to leave this earth in visible form. He wasn't going to remain on earth on a throne somewhere in Jerusalem that we could go and line up and once in our lifetime stand in line and get to talk to Him. He says, it is better that I go. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit will not come upon you. So the Holy Spirit is the second advocate whom He will send in His name. We see that in today's Gospel from John chapter 14. It says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to be with you always. This way, Jesus would not be someone outside of us that we would go and visit once in our lifetime on a pilgrimage. He would actually be within us. He would send His Spirit to live and work and love within us. He then says, I have told you this while I am still with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. So Jesus, after He ascended to the Father, He and the Father sent the Holy Spirit upon the Catholic Church 2,000 years ago. And it was the Holy Spirit that inspired the Gospel writers to write down the sacred scriptures, to keep the Church from error on issues of faith and morals. The Holy Spirit has always been protecting the Church, even during difficult times for the world, difficult times for the Church. The Church has never fallen into error on doctrinal issues, on faith and morals. Yes, the members of the Church can sin, people can sin, bishops, priests, popes can sin, but the Holy Spirit will always guide and protect the Church from teaching error on issues of faith and morals. The Church is always in need of reform, because obviously we just have to look in the mirror, right? Because we're all sinners. Everybody is a sinner. We're always in need of reform. But we have the guarantee from Christ that the Holy Spirit will always guide and protect His Church. See, Pentecost has been called the birthday of the Catholic Church. And Jesus sent, and the Father sent, the Holy Spirit upon the Church of Pentecost so that it would not be orphaned. The Holy Spirit is always our advocate, our defense attorney, our intercessor, our paraclete, that will keep the Church from error, that will also work through the preaching of the Word of God, through the sacraments. Every time we're baptized or receive communion or receive Holy Communion or confirmation, this is the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. And the Holy Spirit continues to sanctify us through the Catholic Church, through the inspired Word of God, which is the sacred scripture, through the preaching of God's Word, through the administration of the sacraments. See, these things are the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. The Lord promised that He would send us His Holy Spirit. And that occurred on Pentecost. The day that God chose was a Jewish festival. It was a festival that commemorated two things. One was the harvest, and the people would give their 10% back to God. And then it was also, Pentecost was the Jewish feast day to commemorate the giving of the law to Moses. Behind me, you can see the beautiful mural of Moses. And over here, Elijah, to complete the image of the transfiguration within the sanctuary. Notice Moses is holding two tablets. One with the first three commandments, because they have to do with our love of God. And the commandments 4 through 10, which is love of neighbor. And this is right behind the pulpit where we preach the law of God, to preach the commandments and preach the love of God. So the feast day of Pentecost commemorated in the Jewish days the giving of the law to Moses. And isn't it appropriate that God would use this same Jewish festival to give the giving of the Spirit to the church, the giving of the Holy Spirit? Pentecost means the 50th day after Passover. The word pent, like Pentagon, the five-sided building, Pentecost is the 50th day after Passover. And it's the opposite of what happened at the Tower of Babel. At the Tower of Babel, there was confusion in languages because of sin. People could not understand one another, and the different nations and languages came about at the Tower of Babel. But in the opposite happened at Pentecost. People came from all over the world, it said in our first reading. And the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they could preach, and people could understand them. So it was just the opposite of what happened in the Old Testament. Now we have an understanding and enlightenment given by God through the Holy Spirit to the church. So today's considered the birthday, the baptismal day, the confirmation day of the Catholic Church. And everything Pentecost was for the church, our own confirmation is for us. That's when we receive an outpouring, a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's no small thing to be a confirmed member of the Catholic Church. If you're an adult that has not yet been confirmed, please join RCIA next year. Contact us so we can get you confirmed, either at the parish or through the bishop at the diocese. Because you want, and we all need, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit within our life. Yes, the Holy Spirit is given to us in our baptism, because we receive the Blessed Trinity in our soul at baptism. But we need confirmation to stir up the Holy Spirit within us. If you've ever made a glass of chocolate milk, you kids have made chocolate milk, right? Altar boys, you guys like chocolate milk? Get a big glass of milk, and then you take that Hershey's chocolate syrup, right? And you squeeze it into the glass of milk, right? Maybe an inch, 2 inches, 3 inches. 3 inches of chocolate, not that much, okay. 2 inches of chocolate syrup. What would happen if you never stirred it up? It would just sit there at the bottom. Well, that's what happens to us sometimes in our baptism. You know, we're baptized Catholic, we're even confirmed. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is still sitting dormant at the base of the glass. You have to stir it up in your life. And so the Holy Spirit needs to be stirred up within our life. And this happens when we go on retreats, when we make days of recollection, spend time in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, when we attend a conference or a seminar or a Life in the Spirit seminar, when we do things that can stir up the Holy Spirit within us, going parish missions and retreats. See, we need these things. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit within us if we're in a state of grace, but it just needs to be stirred up. And that will be our prayer today on Pentecost, that the Lord, through the intercession of Our Lady, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, will stir up within our hearts and souls the Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to fight temptation, to conquer sin, and to grow in holiness. That is what the Holy Spirit is meant to do. He's the sanctifier, and we want the Holy Spirit to be stirred up within us. So every day you should say that prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary.